That Life. All about lifestyle, relationships, cars, and cats. From Cassie to the bird.
From Cassie to the bird.
Yeah, that's it. We're on Black Life. How are you guys doing?
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome one and all, man.
It's welcome
so good
back
to have
T.
everybody here.
Yeah,
it is, huh?
You're so bossy, he just takes over the desk.
Well, we missed you. I missed you.
Yeah. I missed you too, guys. It was interesting to be away from you guys for
so long.
I
didn't
long.
Miss you. Can I just say that?
It's
can
okay.
I just put it out there. I did not
you know
miss
that
Dimitri.
It's mutual, right?
Hey?
You know it's mutual, right?
Really? You better be nice today. I've got some ammo on you, by the way.
What ammo have you got on me today, man?
Don't worry. I'll
focus on
it.
The guests.
I'll release it as soon as I, you know, feel the need to release some testosterone.
I see you're wearing shades today for our show, Beast.
Yeah.
Why is that, buddy?
Are
you feeling like the sun is just shining on you right here in the studio?
My future's too bright.
Or are they like supposed to be hater blockers or something? What's going on with
my
you, my
future's
guy?
Too bright.
Oh, okay.
Alright.
Well, let's get straight to our guest because that's what we're all about. Vilmarie,
hello.
Who are we talking to today?
I've got Lee Thompson here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send you guys a little bit of his profile.
Yeah.
Lee can say hello and give his whole background. Multiple essay champ on so many different levels. In my personal opinion, and so many others, probably the best person to set up your car, scare you silly. I don't know if you guys saw that tweet that I sent out. Did you see the YouTube video?
I saw
yeah.
that.
How was that girl
That's
screaming?
Steroids.
Like
steroids.
Just like a girl.
Excuse me? I don't scream in the car.
You don't scream.
Hit me on the track.
You don't scream unless you're made to.
Huh?
Okay.
Just putting it out there.
Oh.
But that's an awesome video for Mini Cooper.
Amazing.
Hey,
it's amazing.
I mean, what other fun stuff did you guys do, Lee, for Mini?
We did a lot of things. We went fishing, deep sea fishing, and did all sorts of crazy stuff there with some bungee jumping and that.
How do you do that with Mini?
It's just a whole fun thing. We've never done any marlin fishing in our lives before, and they said, okay, well, here's one, bring it out. So that
wow.
was very funny, you know, this little thin body of mine trying to get a marlin out.
So Mini took you guys just as a marketing campaign, basically.
It's just a marketing thing. They're trying all new things. They want to get the younger generation into the Mini. I think that's what the focus point is all of. And there's just something different.
It's like not normal, because your YouTube video said not normal open weekend.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. It's a campaign that we did. Anything that's sort of not got anything to do with Mini, but they're trying to drag it in that whole situation. Just to make it something different, because that's what Mini try to be. It's just
okay.
to be something different.
Aren't they also sponsoring Mikasa? Or
Yes, they're official Mikasa car sponsors.
Yeah.
Mikasa, Tsukasa, Tsukara.
Now, Lee, you raced for Mini Cooper now for how long?
The campaign started in 2012, and we unfortunately that deal ended at the end of last year, but we had three successful years. Unfortunately, like any motorsport, you'll see it in F1 as well, which is the pinnacle of what we have in motorsport in the world. You need 2-3 years development. Unfortunately, the budget ran out within the third year, but we had a couple of wins. I managed to lead the championship up until 3-4 races from the end of the year. So, and it had a little bit of
a crash. I saw that pic.
I don't want to say that, but yeah, I had one of those.
Uncensored, Lee. We're uncensored.
You can say what you like, man.
And a few breakages, not of my own accord. Thank you.
Other people.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get into your motorsport history. Some of the things that you've done in motorsport before.
Say that again.
The motorsport history.
Say it again.
Motorsport history.
It's motor. There's a r.
Motorsport.
Silent, but almost silent.
Like a motorsport.
No. Okay, not so arg, nie.
Motorsport. Should I say it like more American? Motorsport.
Yeah, there we, that sounds right. good, yeah.
Motorsport.
That's the side. Motorsport is from Pretoria West side.
Yeah, I know, because Vilmarie's from there,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So she always has to, like,
we'll
remind
back
us.
That one.
She's
no, keep it real,
like
Vilmarie. Like, and now she's, like, she's getting into the spirit of things with, like, things like that.
Listen, all jokes aside, I went, like, many years ago, Lee, we went to Mayhem.
Oh,
do
Mayhem,
you
yes.
still remember?
I do.
Lee, have you guys
single?
Been to Mayhem?
I can't believe you haven't said that.
I don't know what Mayhem is.
Lee?
This chaos, to me, sure.
Am I single?
This
is for us to bang us on it's to say.
Okay.
Of iets for iemand verkeerd te kijk.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Well, Marie, did you hear that?
No.
What?
Lee's single.
Lee?
Yeah.
I know he's single.
And so what?
Okay.
We arrived in the same car.
Oh. Lee, what did you do about that?
What about that?
Yes.
He's smiling, can't you see?
She lied all about not screaming at all.
In the car.
There we go. Nice one. In the car, people.
And it's a van.
And it's a van. Oh. I hope it has some very strong suspension.
Took all the seats out in
keep
the back.
Keep it clean, boys.
The guy is a racing driver. It needs good suspension to get around those curves, you know.
Exactly.
It's not easy, you know.
No, but on a serious note, you should drive with him.
Okay.
You will scream like a girl.
The last time a guy made me scream like a girl, I don't know.
Should we do it, Lee? Should we take them in that
PM? He's not alive anymore. It was when I was in prison.
I think it's a very good idea.
What's that?
Lee says he's willing to take you around in what BM?
It's an M3 GTR.
Oh, nice. That's my favorite car,
that's
the M3,
favorite,
you know?
Car, BMW. It really is.
Well, M3 especially. It's the pinnacle.
There we go.
But this is like a limited.
Actually, we've got someone else in the studio, okay? And now that we're talking cars.
Turn it up!
And we're actually talking like car brands. Sia, what's up, man?
All right, how you doing, my man?
Tell us your English name again.
Brandon.
Speaking to
Brandon, okay.
Brandon.
Hang on.
How did you get the Brandon name? Was it one of those like you got to grade naught to grade one and your English teacher was like, no, you see, you see us too hard for us. See us too hard for us to pronounce. No, let's call you Brandon instead.
No, actually, Brandon is the correct one. Sia was slotted in there by grandmother.
Oh, I see.
It's not in your dump pass.
Which is in your pass?
Brandon.
Brandon?
Yes.
Hey, it must be very difficult when you go voting.
It's a nice life.
And when you're like, you're trying to get that membership for the ANC and everything else.
Especially
like
when I'm in my blue t-shirt. Problem.
Okay, no, it works in Cape Town now.
Yeah. So Brandon. Just so that we can name drop as well, because we've got some VIPs. We've got Lee and Brandon, big names in the motoring industry.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon is group marketing
and digital manager
of Chrysler.
Marketing and digital manager of what?
Chrysler South Africa.
Chrysler. Yeah.
I'm curious.
Car brands do you have under Chrysler?
There should be six under the Chrysler group. So it's Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Fiat, Alfa Romeo, and Arbath.
Arbath. What's the Arbath?
It's a souped up version of a Fiat 500. It's a racing car.
Ah,
I was going to ask now, is there any racing in there?
There is. It actually has quite a large heritage in terms of from the early 1900s. Arbath was one of the key motor manufacturers in the racing industry. So, yeah, that heritage is translated down to the Fiat 500 as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
But currently, you guys are not involved in motorsports at all, am I right?
From a group level, Ferrari. So, Ferrari owns Fiat. So, Ferrari is part of the Fiat group. So
there's also a Fiat 500 racing series in Italy.
In Italy as well, that doesn't. Yeah.
But I want to know about that new Fiat. I think it's the... Is it the 5C? The sporty... It's quite... It's like a two-door...
The 500 coupe cab. Yeah. It's actually quite awesome.
I saw it on Top Gear the other day, and I think I've seen only one in South Africa so far. When is it coming out? Is it coming out? What's happening with that?
Currently this year we have two or three model releases, not yet for the 500C, but we have the Arbath that we're starting to focus on for this year. So we're bringing quite a few powerful little numbers in there. I can't say which ones, but
okay, in terms of the Arbath then, what's the price range there? What are we looking at? Where are we sitting?
Because of the racing heritage, you're looking at between 200 and 300,000.
It's not too bad.
When you look at the Arbath Special Edition, which is the Ferrari edition, you're looking at about 565 to 600,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
For a two-seater car, though.
Two-seater. Trendy little fashion accessory that you love.
All right, cool. Now, I want to go back to the Chrysler as well. Chrysler, who bought who? Was it Chrysler who bought Fiat or Fiat that bought Chrysler?
Fiat bought Chrysler.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, what are we going to see in terms of what Fiat is doing and what Chrysler is doing with the cars that are coming out in the next couple of years?
Yeah. I think the one point that everyone always had a gripe about American cars was fuel consumption, about petrol guzzlers as well as some usability issues. So one issue I can point out that's been beneficial of having a European brand but an American brand is that in terms of fuel economy, we have a few new engines being developed that are actually suitable for African markets, or rather outside American markets, where they're not really dependent on the massive amounts of petrol coming in. So investments in like 1.6 liter engines going forward, so that will in turn end up making our Jeeps a lot more fuel
efficient.
Economically efficient, yeah.
Are we ever going to see a Chrysler sedan that would compete in the small sedan space, like that would compete with your C-Class, that would compete with your 3 Series and that sort of thing?
Watch the space. Not at liberty to say, but there are quite a few changes in the market coming through in the next year or two. So, yeah.
All right. As and well. There was yeah. one
What's
particular...
What's your Twitter handle? Sorry.
Brandon Mube. Brandon B. Surname MNCUBE. Can't you find me? Come on, man.
I wanted to know, though.
No, I'm being asked on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
In terms of your sports cars, there was a Chrysler that everyone really loved at one point, especially in South Africa. The two-seater, quite sporty. And it seems not to be continued anymore.
The Crossfire, yes.
Yeah, the Crossfire.
That actually was on run out, I think, 2012. So.
Was that a two-seater?
Yes, it is. Yes, definitely a two-seater.
It's based on the old CLK.
CLK as well. Yeah. So that model range has ended. It's been run out. Quite a motor fan. Here we go. Was it?
Well, he knows his stuff.
I worked for Chrysler for a while.
Oh, okay.
What did you do?
No, I actually worked for Mercedes-Benz when Chrysler was still under Mercedes-Benz.
Daimler.
So are we ever going to see something like that coming out from Chrysler again, a small sports car that can compete with
Not necessarily small sports car, more of the larger sedans with more power to compete with the larger segment vehicles. So going toe-to-toe against the German brands as well.
I was talking about the STR8s and that sort of thing.
Yeah, SRT8s. Okay. And possibly, but in the States they just launched the Hellcat, which is one of the most powerful sedans ever. Don't think it will grace our shores, but watch the space as well.
Okay.
Is this with Chrysler now?
Yes, the SRT Hemi.
So what's your who's your market?
Currently we're looking at the emerging market. Because what you find is that
that's blank.
Darkies.
I get it. Just the darkies.
That's like the PC but word
that's not for
me.
Black.
No, actually if you think about it, emerging is not necessarily about color. Emerging is about your current position in terms of life,
you
in terms
tell
of progression and your professionalism. So emerging could be Indian, emerging could be white, emerging could
so
be
so what you're saying
colored.
Is emerging could be colored, Indian and black.
Yeah. But
and
that's white. Still confusing. I want don't discriminate.
Well, that old money, man. There's no emerging about that. They've been there, done that.
Well, you know, everyone has different levels. They're levels to everything.
Okay, let me ask this. Yeah. Male, female?
Male, because age. Of the power.
Excuse me?
We're looking at the 30 plus.
This is male power. Really? Be careful. I'm saying this now from experience because women are now more independent than ever. The women with the money and they want the fast cars.
But what one thing you notice about American cars and the German luxury brand. So the German luxury brand, yes, they are powerful, but they're quite comfortable. So what you find the female target market want the comforts of home. With a Chrysler 300C SRT, it is a raw, unadulterated male power. Like
just
it's,
power.
It's there's no fanciness. There's no thrills and
thrills. So Lee, is that my type?
Oh.
No, you're not going to fit in there.
Why not?
Remember, Vomri, I trained you a little bit when you started in motorsports. And all your little... Dirty secrets.
Spill it. This is spill it. No, hang on. I want to hear. This is uncensored. You can talk.
You are just a plain feminine little girl. That's what you are.
Keep going. Yeah, I
want to
have you on the show every week.
So I still like nice stuff, but fast.
You still like nice things, just fast.
Like all girls do, no?
Yeah. Not too fast. I'll take your time.
No, but seriously, now I mean, women now these days. They are responsible. They do manage power better.
Which is actually most great. So just because I think one point to make is because we're targeting the males, it doesn't mean it's stopping you from walking to a dealership and saying, hey, give me the most powerful car that you have and be the judge for yourself. So it's mostly encouraged that. So for example, from a positioning angle, when we talk about the power that the car has and the current stats that it has as well, you'll be able to judge whether it's a fit for yourself. And then you just confirm that by actually jumping behind the wheel. Putting your foot on the pedal.
But I'm curious because you're going to obviously do the marketing around it.
Yeah.
So are you, are you going to aim it then at the guys? Are you going to do track days? Are you going to, or is that a secret?
Secret for now.
Or don't you know yet?
Secret for now.
Oh, is it?
Secret for now.
Secret. Hey, we hate secrets.
But Lee, I want to know, Tamisha, didn't you want to still ask Lee about the racing? Because you worked for Chrysler, but now you work for yourself.
Yes. Yeah, I went on my own with the whole racing scene. I got a lot of offers from people if I can help them with their racing cars, and that because obviously I started doing well in the category that I was racing in, and so it started that opened my own workshop and started building and preparing high level and racing cars. But yeah, I mean, I also started. I wouldn't say at the bottom, but I started at Mercedes Benz. Worked there for
at the bottom.
7 yeah.
BC started at the bottom. Now we're here.
Yes. And I learned a lot there, and it was just time to go on my own, and that's where I'm. What I'm doing now.
But you specialize in guys who want to race, not street cars. Although you could make like BC's car quicker,
please,
can't you?
That was my next question, Lee. In fact, I've bought this 1982 Mercedes Benz.
Yes.
I don't know where to take it.
Bring it in.
Yeah?
Yes. We'll roll it out as a...
Yeah.
So basically...
We can like do Lee, pimp my ride.
What you do is you pimp rides.
Mechanically.
Exhibit.
Right. Mechanically or... Yes. But not aesthetically. So I can't bring my car in and say, listen, man, just like hook it up, you know?
No, look, I've got contacts in that area as well. Mm-hmm. It's not my specialty, but I can do it as well. It's no problem at all. Specialties is... in the racing scene, you're always chasing the clock. In other words, you want to see what type of lap time you can do.
Right.
So it's a different kind of customer need. That I've got there, needs that I've got there, and people are willing to spend, thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of rands to try and go
quicker,
0.4 of a second quicker, you know. Yeah.
But here's my question then: your kind of, I'd say, your market is it only people in racing, or is it ordinary people who want the best performance and efficiency out of their cars?
I would say at this stage it's only racing orientated. I feel I've made my name for myself there, so that's what I'm talking at the moment. But I'm not. The racing scene is also it's a seasonal thing. It begins beginning of March and ends November. So after that, there's sort of nothing to do. So I do take the odd normal road car in if the guy wants it pimped.
Right, I'm bringing mine.
There we go.
Well, actually, if someone does bring their car in,
what car do you have? Before we pump it up.
She's got that Toyota Avios, right? Yeah, he's just getting to go from 0
just,
to 100
what you're getting.
In under
getting.
9 seconds.
I'm getting the
12 seconds.
Audi 2-liter turbo diesel.
A4. Okay.
So Lee's going to make it quicker.
All right. Yeah, that needs to be quicker. I mean, the Audi, like...
just like a little quicker still.
Like, Brandon, why don't you get an Alpha?
Yeah,
let me get an Alpha.
Yeah. That pic that Lee just showed me.
Yeah, it's an awesome car.
I don't mean to be mean, but that's so not me.
The small one.
You don't have Italian flair style.
You know, they're cute to look at, but that's not me. I like the...
It's cute but small. She likes it big.
That's it big and powerful.
That's why she's with
and
us
fast.
On the show. She likes it African and
but,
big.
But, you know, here's a question.
Wow.
I think our... Yeah, thanks, BC. Our listeners would probably be keen to know, in terms of... going out there and getting their cars mechanically enhanced, does it affect their warranty?
Yes.
And those sort of things. What does it affect?
Well, obviously the manufacturer's got a plan with the warranty system that they run. But
it's only until it's still on Motorplan, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, look, out of Motorplan you can obviously do what you want.
Yes. It's the same with the bikes.
Yeah, it's quite specific to manufacturer as well. So it depends on the... T's and C's that you have when signing up for that vehicle. So most of the cases we can say yes, it will probably affect your warranty if you're still on that.
Okay, so in what way will it affect it? When you say in Motorplan, so when I bring my car for service now, for its 50,000 kilometer service, whatever, you guys will be reluctant to fix it for free on the maintenance.
No, not reluctant. It depends on the work that you've done. You have to be very open on what you've done to the vehicle.
Okay.
And then each case is built individually. So
I see.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can't exactly put nitrogen tanks in the bottom and expect to, you know.
So
if something goes faulty with
a performance enhancement,
I'm going scuba diving tomorrow.
If it's a performance enhancement, though, Brendan, I mean, does that mean that in terms of your service, your car can't be serviced anymore on the Motorplan? You have to do it on your own cash or what?
It can. It probably can. But then again, it goes back to each manufacturer has different specs and requirements for it. So
okay, what is it like at Chrysler? I get my souped up SRT8 and I'm taking it out there and I want it to be even more souped up. And
that's the thing. SRT8 is already souped up to the max. And if
bring
you soup it up anymore,
soup it up even more.
You could could be compromising things such as like the electronics or the pour it in. So it depends. It really depends. Okay. And right, but it's not really practice, because once you start tinkering with the car, you're probably messing around with the original manufacturing specs, and they're built for a certain reason. So, yeah.
Well, I would say if you want to do what like what I'm doing now, rather get a second hand car that you know that's out of its motor plan, where you can do the modifications and there's no penalty or disadvantage.
Okay, so this is we can say what we want. Yeah,
yeah, of course. Okay. Say what you like, man.
All right. So manufacturers take a car and they design it to do
a certain thing and last for a certain amount of time.
Kilometers, yes. Mm. And then when they've done that, they tune it a little bit more just to be safe.
Uh-huh. So that it can do a little bit more kilometers.
They are actually not really a little bit more kilometers. They will still last that long, even if you soup it up a little bit.
So Lee takes away the detuning bit.
Yes. A lot of them are detuned a lot.
But it's like the bikes as well.
When they just launched the BMW 335.
Mm-hmm.
When they just finished the car in Germany, it was actually quicker than the M3. But selling-wise, it wouldn't have worked because the M3 is the pinnacle of what it is. So they had to detune their car.
Okay.
So now you get it.
There's a lot of things.
This is so exciting. I want to get a 335 right now.
There's a lot of things that to do. A lot of your manufacturers now, your... say what we want.
Yes.
Yeah, go for it.
We'll just keep
your
reminding
BMW 320s, 328, and I think the 325.
Yeah,
it's all actually exactly the same thing. They just make the one
up
list.
And down.
They just soup it up and down, just to fall in the category. So you're buying exactly the same thing for much less or much more.
Oh, man.
Should not have said that.
Now I'm like, okay, next time just buy a 320, take it to Lee, and then you got a 328.
There we go. I'll even change a badge for you.
No, it's fine. Keep the badge. I want to take the 325s out. All right.
They won't understand why your 320 is so bloody fast.
It's amazing because actually I remember, being in varsity, a friend of mine had a Gushesh, 325. Yes. It was back in the day. We were feeding ourselves. We're about to get on the highway and this guy comes in. He's like little VW Golf 1. Like, it didn't even look souped up, you know? And he starts revving. So we're like, are you crazy? Didn't you see that this is a 325? He killed us. He left us for dead. And we just couldn't understand how this happened.
But that's when you should look under the hood.
Well, it helped with our egos, though, because that didn't happen again. I mean, it really helped bring us back down to earth and realize that even though we're driving mommy's car, we shouldn't drive it like that. Yeah.
Motorsport's got a way of doing that.
Yeah. I think also you're just a better driver, you know?
Bringing you back down to earth.
Definitely.
Hi, Lee.
Lee, but there's a cost to this. I know, like, motorsport, everybody, it's not for everyone. How did you start up?
Oh, that's a lot of hard work. And unfortunately, a lot of money out of my father's own back pocket.
Hey, has he recouped any of it?
No.
No, that's a bottomless pit.
Do you know how you make a small fortune out
Spend
of motorsport?
Spend a big one.
You start with a big one.
hope to finish with a small.
Because I see here, I mean, like, you were the Transvaal champion in the Formula M Class D in 1993.
Way back when.
Yeah, man.
Jeez, old are you? I even look a day over 23, dude.
24. Give or take a few.
35.
At least he must
let's
like
it.
Yes, he's being so nice. Okay. He wants his car souped up.
He wants something. Don't think that is for nothing.
Where's your workshop?
I'm sorry.
And also, you know, you were the Formula V national and regional champion of 2001. With those kind of accolades, Lee, what happened from there? You know, where did it go?
Well, basically, we started off as a privateer racing team, just between me and my father. And then, with a lot of hard work, that first national champion that you just spoke about in 2001 started opening a few more doors because now you get recognized. But it's difficult. You can't just walk out and walk to a sponsor and say, hello, sponsor me, without having any recognition. So you unfortunately have to start off the hard way at first. And then, you know, from 2005 and up until now, I didn't pay a cent for it out of my pocket. And there's not a lot of guys in South Africa that can actually say that.
Yeah.
So, I've been blessed in that area there. That
And you've made money from your talent.
Yes. We know that my business is thriving because of that.
Brilliant.
A lot of the people at the track want me to help them out, and it's, you know, there's a lot of upcoming youngsters out of karting, and they want to get into the Polar Cup. It's the VW Polar Cup, the single make series. So this, mm-hmm. it's the next step for them out of go karts if they want to go to a tin top or a saloon type
right.
car
racing.
And I've tutored and I've made a lot of young SA champions out of the young kids.
The teaching and that, which because you're a good teacher. I mean, I know because
oh, you would know.
No, I do
yes,
know.
You would.
Lee did my car. I mean, the golf when I still raced before I crashed it into the wall.
Okay, we're going to take a short musical break, but what we want to do is when we come
good
back,
teacher.
I want to talk about some of the aspects of how you take your racing career and make it a career outside of racing after that. And what advice you'd have for the youth who are studying mechanical engineering and want to get into, you know, helping with racing and all that mechanical type stuff. And for you as well, Bren.
Don't do drugs. Stay in school.
I don't agree.
I can just get this.
We're waiting for the music team. What song? Are you playing Lee's song?
I'm playing Lee's song, man.
Yes.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Let's light it up. Let's light it up until our hearts catch fire. Then show the world a burning light that never shines so bright.
Exciting.
We're back. This is Black Life. We're looking for music.
Tamisha getting your finding the buttons.
Finding the buttons, man.
Yes. Okay. So if guys want to get a hold of us, it's 0861-555-189. Our Twitter is cliffcentral.com. And WeChat is cliffcentral.
Yeah. Or at Speed Queen.
At Tamisha Masha.
That's right.
And Lee, it's at Lee Thompson R. R for racing.
Yes.
At Brandon Mube.
Yes.
Mube.
Yes.
Mube is with a Q.
All the white people who can't
Mube
get
is it. It's very important Yammer. Because you could throw a lot of people. Especially the Nguni speaking people. If you put a Mube, they'll go for a Q. But if you put a Mube, then they'll go for a C. But if you put a Mube, then they'll go for
that's,
an S.
Okay, that is just so confusing.
Thanks.
Yeah, I just thought I'd add.
Now, as I thought, I'm getting started getting the hang of it.
Yeah, Lisa, we were talking, you know, I know my young nephew is doing mechanical engineering at the moment, and his big dream is to actually go into motor racing. Now, a lot of guys come out, like my brother, who did mechanical engineering as well and couldn't find anything in that sort of field, so he ended up making parts for Denal, like the back of missiles. How does a young guy, which I think is far more exciting.
So, by the way.
But how do young guys get involved, man? Especially those who like go out and get the education and get qualified.
I.e., how do the black guys get involved in a white motorsport?
Are you want? It's
that's
where do you come with that?
Thinking.
Was that what he was thinking? Should I help you, Lee?
Being politically incorrect.
Well, I think that's a valid question, though. Thanks, Mon RBC. Let's say like it is actually. But any youngsters
by choice. It's like that by choice.
Ah, well, Marie.
It's your own choice. Why are you not there?
Let Lee answer.
Lee, answer that. No
well,
pressure.
No. we actually had two black South African champions in
well,
SA.
And they
South
do
African
know the one.
Champions, yeah.
They do know the one.
Kukana and Chops Puka.
Okay, and who's the rally?
But Chops passed away, didn't he?
Rally?
No, Chops is still around. He's
it's
just in
Gugu Zulu.
Cape.
Gugu.
Yeah,
they know
yeah.
Gugu.
Yeah,
they
know
yeah,
Gugu.
Very well.
So
okay, so right, three black people in there out of 30 million people. Oh, yeah, we're doing well, eh? Progress.
Oh, hold and up, have you noticed there's no black females?
Yeah, well, you know,
the
forget about Ntombi. That. Give us another 20 years.
Ntombi didn't last for one race.
But hang on, we've got a call on the line. We've got
I'm
Hakim
just saying.
On the line.
Hakim,
can you hear us?
Yeah.
We can hear you, guy. Go for it. What do you want to ask?
I wanted to ask the question, it's a little bit whimsical, but how would taxi drivers get involved in motorsport?
Oh, dear.
Because they are the most gangster drivers in the world.
They're the most what?
They are the most hardcore
gangster.
Hardcore gangster drivers. Nice question, man.
Yeah.
I have my opinion.
Like
who should answer
drivers?
This, Hakim?
I don't understand.
Who do you
well,
want
it'd
to
be
answer?
Good if they first got a driver's license.
Well, you don't need it for racing.
Why are you assuming they don't?
I think Lee should answer.
Lee?
All right. Actually, Philip Kakana was a taxi driver. just before he started in motor racing.
And he's good.
And he was our first black South African champion in 2002.
Yeah, he's very good.
And now you know why.
So I'll give you his number and see if you can get to in there if you're a taxi driver. Or you.
Like, I think you guys should pioneer like a taxi driving circuit, like a taxi driver driving circuit.
I think there should be a taxi driving circuit.
I like that.
You know what the problem is? I want to tell you something else that we've had in motorsport is we used to have a delivery guy.
Thanks, Hakim.
Race thing going. Hakim, you'll find this interesting too. I had around Kyalami a lot of delivery riders. It's a race for them, but they ended up crashing so much and damaging the tar in the meantime too. And it's a big thing in motorsport, you know.
The
problem with that was it started off small, and so everybody that's got a guy that does the delivery for them on the small motorbike, they will enter them in this race. So it's with the back box and everything on it, and they have to do one lap around Kyalami. But then, obviously, with motor racing and all the testosterone pumping and that, the guy started putting these guys on Katana bikes.
Just
to try and win.
It was like
a suicide ride.
Now you must imagine you have your company logo on that box.
Scooters.
I mean, the association.
Debonair flying and
scooters is coming
everywhere.
Up from behind, and then there's Debonair is going to take the lead.
So taxi, I mean, why not? But it costs money. Motorsport costs money. So who's going to pay for that?
You.
Really?
Yes.
Taxi Federation make enough money. I think they should.
They're launching aeroplanes, so yeah.
Yo, you see.
Yeah.
Look, it costs money in terms of, well, for them, that it will be body damage, but it also costs money in terms of tires. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Philip went one step further, at least, and went to motorsport, where you don't need a license, by the way. You buy it.
You buy a license.
It's not like a legal way to do it.
Like real life, you just buy a license.
You just buy it.
Okay, they're probably used to that. Now, but for you, Brandon, I mean, where are Chryslers made? Do we have a factory in South Africa where the guys who are studying like mechanical engineering and love the brand and want to be involved, where can they go once they're qualified?
Well, unfortunately, at the moment, most Chrysler vehicles are actually manufactured overseas. So
fully manufactured in the U.S.?
Yes, in the U.S.
Detroit?
Detroit.
Motor City.
He did his homework.
The home of Chrysler.
Okay.
Home of Chrysler. And I think it's a prevailing trend in the SA market where a lot of the brands are trying to bring manufacturing into South Africa as well to create jobs and so on and so forth. BMW is doing it. Mercedes-Benz with the plant.
They've been doing it, man. That Rustin plant has been around for ages.
For a while. Yeah. So, and that's the way to go as well. Large corporations are actually realizing that they have to actually invest in the local industry as well, and local talent, so for youngsters to come up. Chrysler is still a challenger brand at the moment, so in terms of the large amounts of money needed to invest in huge plants actually outweighs the need, the demand actually for Chrysler in South Africa, because it's quite a niche car and there are quite a few people who actually want it. So you start going into business concerns, business validation, that sort of thing.
Well, here's a question then. In terms of if I own, let's say, a Grand Jeep Cherokee or Jeep Grand Cherokee rather, or any of your Hemis, and I needed to get fixed, whether it's been in an accident or any other thing like that, are parts a problem, or do we have enough parts? Is there service so that it can get fixed really quickly?
Parts are available, the service is there. I think there's quite legacy issues in terms of in the past, in terms of servicing your Jeeps, your foreign cars, and so on. There were quite, people had a few headaches over the years and couldn't have actually ripped anyone off.
Lee should know
the
headache.
Behave, Lee.
But one thing that they have addressed is the only way you can gain market traction is actually address your problems and issues that you had in the past. So we've now implemented certain measures to ensure that any make of vehicle in the Chrysler stand will have the same treatment as you'd have with any other locally manufactured vehicle. Okay. So
and that includes the Fiat as well. I mean, people
Fiat
used
as
to.
Well.
Can you allay the fears of people saying, you know, I once bought a Fiat and something 90 whatever, and now I will never buy that car again because it always had mechanical problems? Have those things really been addressed in the South African market?
They have. If you're looking at the Fiat and Alfa brands, we've instituted like 3-year buyback plans and 3-year guarantees as well, full maintenance plans as well with every standard purchase of a Fiat and Alfa Romeo. That actually stemmed from the time when we had slight issues with the Alfa Romeos and parts.
Especially the Alfa,
so.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
so
about.
So that's actually quite a brilliant thing. What we did last year, when we relaunched the Alfa brand in terms of the positioning in the SA market with the 4C. So with that relaunch also came the relaunch of our brand prioritization for that car. So what you find that with every vehicle that you get from Alfa Romeo, getting a standard 3 month, 3 year warranty, 3 year buyback as well, and normal service and delivery from.
So
that
what's
point
the maintenance plan on an Alfa these days?
Is that your flagship? Let's start there. Which one is your flagship out of the group?
There are so many cars. Each brand, I think, is an individual. So you can't really point it out
as an individual.
Yeah,
so
as an
let's
individual.
Say, just like the Alfa, for example, do they have a maintenance plan?
Yes, they do. 3 year.
3 year, 100 kilometers, 100,000.
100,000 kilometers.
Okay, and then your.
It's like standard.
Your Chrysler?
Standard.
Well, they're five.
Well, for me, it's 100 Ks.
Okay. But your Chrysler?
Chrysler's 125 year.
Okay.
The Jeep is actually has the longest, which is a 6 year, 150,000.
Oh, wow.
Warranty as well. Yeah.
That's good. Value
for because they do more off road, not long distance.
But you have fun in a Jeep. So your fun has
they
to carry
good.
Us
in
a
Jeep. Yeah. Right? Yeah. They yeah. are. Yeah. I mean, I've seen them get in and over stuff.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
So
best 4x4 in a decade, actually.
Really? Mm. I think in the name of. You know, can we take one of your cars and give it to Lee, and then
soup it up
for the black show, eh?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
everywhere we go, show. We like pimp it up.
Yeah, let's make a black light Chrysler car.
Yeah. Can we like put you on the spot?
We're putting you on the
black
spot.
Hemi. Let's get a black Hemi. Yes. I want the Hemi, man. Let's
tune by Lee Thompson Racing.
I think it's a good idea.
Let me whip up my media training response. I shall respond to your queries upon.
You put it on.
No, it's putting the SAPC.
No, we'll talk.
No, we don't know whether Saudi has a qualification or not, but that is not a problem of the SAPC.
We'll see.
Okay,
we'll
no
see.
Problem.
No, we see this. We see this. Just now we have a black car roaming around the street in Pretoria.
Pretoria. Mm. Listen, I'm curious. I want to ask Lee. You're dealing with the other side of it because, I mean, let's be honest, marketing people generally, I understand, know how to make things look prettier.
Really?
Yes. So, Lee, really? Let's be real. Of the manufacturers, because you deal with most of them, who struggles to get parts? Is that a fair question to ask you, you know, for people? I mean, racing, is most manufacturers involved these days in the cars?
No, not all of them. I would say the biggest ones and the... not the most recent ones, the guys that have been there for a couple of years now are Ford, BMW, VW, and Audi.
And isn't Hyundai now coming in?
Hyundai is coming in, but it's also still a little bit of a question mark.
What are you going to race in the Hyundai, an iX35?
Exactly.
No, from what I've heard, they have some exciting stuff
Sonata.
Possibly happening, you know, which in from a racing language, that's good for development, isn't it? That's good for motorsport.
That is definitely good, but that's why the brands that I just mentioned now flourish in motorsport now, because it's all local brands. Locally manufactured. So to make a racing car quick, it's a lot of time and rebuilds and testing parts and stuff like that. So we have to have parts on hand all the time.
Mm.
So that's why these brands are doing well. For the other cars that are imports, it's always going to be a little bit different because you're not always going to have spare engines and gearboxes and stuff on hand to try and make it quicker. It's possible if we have the backing of the manufacturer. It's a little bit of a hard sore point for me. I don't understand why it's supposed to be like that. South African motorsport is going through a little bit of a
tough time.
Yeah, descent now. Mm. But
it didn't involve Zuma. That's why.
Yeah, no, maybe. But it's just
I have my opinion.
It's just weird for me that that the manufacturers aren't backing motorsport a little bit more. I mean, why don't we have a Chrysler racing on our circuits, you know?
Okay.
And Chrysler's a beautiful car though.
Yeah.
And with that question I can answer that one for you. Why it doesn't necessarily have to cost you. You just don't have to make money out of it. Because, you know, if you put a proper package together for the public where it's at cost, plus they get a spare allowance or whatever. So I'm saying don't make your millions, but provide it at cost. And at the same time, it's motorsport. It's motorsport's good. From personal experience, Lee, you can talk from that as well. 17 years, I don't know how many years.
24.
It's good. It keeps you away from drugs. It keeps, you know, and. But we've been able to make a career of it as well, you know, and now teaching people at the same time. So it's not just motorsport. It is a career.
I think most of the time when it comes down to when we look at the bare bones of what we're actually dealing with, when you look at brands like Chrysler as well, which is foreign owned imported car, looking at the rand now sitting at 11.5, and those cars to actually bring those cars into the country, into South Africa, and at the same time be at the same level or compete with the other German brands who have local manufacturing plants, meaning their cars are slightly cheaper, and versus a Chrysler car that's coming in based on the rand, our profit margins become very small, and we're servicing a very tiny group, a niche group of people in the market. So you start have to weigh up the opportunity cost versus what you need to achieve as your brand and the targets that you need to sell versus what you need to do from investment level. So it's a circular. It can turn into a circular argument. We could actually go around in circles to invest.
What type of marketing are you guys doing with a brand? Say, for instance,
Alpha Magazine.
We're starting to steer away from the traditional form of advertising, because what you find is that the way we progress as people and the way we consume channels, there has to be a shift in terms of how we communicate to the target market. So depending on each brand, so I'll take for example Alpha, and I'll take for example Chrysler, which are two brands in our stable but worlds apart.
Yeah. Mm.
So when you're looking from Alfa Romeo target market, you're looking at the style guys. I would equate it to probably a Peroni guy. Lovely. Well done.
Thank you.
Now, when you communicate to someone like a Tumisho, it's different the way you communicate to a Chrysler target market, because Chrysler were targeting more of the.
So how would you communicate to Tumisho?
Tumisho would more be.
Well, I'd probably be Chrysler now, you know? Just saying.
Okay, well, he's confused. So, how would you communicate to a confused target market? He's,
you know, family man.
He's not sure which way to go.
I'm driving a large sedan, if not a 4x4. there you go.
What you find is, for example, at Tumisho, we would take our brand values. For example, an Alfa Romeo, which is style, dynamism, one of the two, and then match it up to Tumisho and see how he consumes media based on our passion points. So if it's style, that means Tumisho is probably out and about having a glass of wine here and there with a couple of guys. That means for us to interact with them and to bring our brand across means a one-on-one situation. Versus a Chrysler, where you look at a Monabisi here, we know that he's probably wheeling and dealing somewhere, selling drugs underneath a bridge. But we would probably engage with them in business
you
circles from that point of view. So it's just different touch points and how we communicate with the consumers, and then we tailor make it. It's no longer a blanket approach where we put a television ad and say, boom, let's see what happens.
But like most guys in racing, Dean, you would know this. For example, isn't Hyundai doing this where they associate with someone who's got bucks, if we can call it that way? Let's say ABI, you know, so whoever you want to associate your motor brand with. A lot of the bike guys do that as well. They're the guys that actually put the money in. The car guys just give the car, you know, for development, or whatever purposes. Let's call it Taxi Federation Development Motorsport / whatever you want to. So some manufacturer's got to put in the cars where there's another one maintaining. And let me put it this way. When I had someone approach me to sponsor me a bike, so I said, thank you, but that's the cheapest bit in motorsport, because I need twice
anybody
that
can get a bike
to run it. So the car side is actually, I don't know, Lee, would you agree, the cheaper bit to running it in racing? I'm just saying, from if we want to start a racing setup, you know, if you want to do something different, and get an associating a partner, one with money, you know, that can associate with the brand. But would you agree that that's the cheapest bit?
Oh, definitely. To call a spade, the Mini Cooper S JCW that I raced last year cost R1 million, and it cost me, it cost my team, Castrol, R2 million to run it for the year. So
$3 million.
That's what you're looking at
for you
to run one car. And we had a 2-car team.
We
had a 4-car team. Two BMWs, two Minis.
So
you're looking at $12 million already. And what's the prize money like? I mean, for that kind of
it's a trophy. Sad.
So where's the money coming? I don't understand.
It's a slap and a handshake. It's TV. Look, they do. You guys do get TV coverage.
There's a lot of TV coverage. Most of your motorsport teams are businesses now, so they run off the sponsorship money as well. Being a professional racing driver, we get paid a salary as well. So it does give back a little bit. But at the end of the day, You know, we put our lives on the line there, and you get a handshake at the end of the year. Well done, you champion, and that's it.
You got to buy your own colors at the end of the year at the awards,
isn't it?
Yeah.
What colors?
No, no, no.
Like Springbok colors.
Yeah. Springbok colors. You got to buy your own.
How much do those cost? I want a pair.
Yeah.
Like Vietnamese,
I need Springbok.
4 years ago.
It's ridiculous. So they make this. I know because I was involved with the MSA Awards at the end of the year. They spend a lot of money there, and there's a lot of champions. Okay, but this is now one out of a class that wins or that's done well. It's not even everyone that gets colors, but they make the guys buy their own colors, and I think it's wrong. Just my two cents.
What salary does a racing driver get?
Ooh.
Approximate.
Add some, Lee. Subtract some.
a top racing car driver, obviously. We're not talking about the...
Are you talking in this country or...
In this country, not overseas. Obviously.
You'll be shocked.
Different ball game.
No, you'll be shocked.
It's not good.
It's not anything that I'm even going to mention now.
No, come on. Like, 12,000 12,000 a month? 5,000 a month?
No, don't prompt him. Let's see what comes up.
Between 10 and 15, Lee?
Between 15 and 20.
Yeah.
You know, so
is that for like a medium,
and that's good.
Or like a startup?
You don't get that in the bikes.
No, that's.
They pay less than Generations.
Yes.
Wow. Generations was bad.
Stay with acting.
Generations pays the best. If that was 7 the line, it's even less.
And you don't have to pay for serious insurance, you know, medical, because there's no risk. Is there risk in acting?
Yeah, there is. I mean, a light can fall on you. Okay. Like, I've had that where, like, a microphone hit me on the top of the head because a guy fell asleep.
Then you claim.
or a fan scratches you.
But you really? Have you had a fan scratch?
No, not yet.
But you got to weigh it up. I mean, I've always thought it's unfair because, yes, motorsport is incredibly, if you compare what you earn versus the risk, you know what? It's pure passion.
Okay, here's the thing, guys. We don't have much time, so I want to close then. I want to start with the motorsport. What can we do to make this better? I mean, clearly, we need to get it on TV. And what channel do you think that should be on? Because just putting it on Super Sport Channel 9 or something is not really going to help either, right?
It's all on Ignition now.
Yeah, but I don't even enjoy
what number Ignition is.
Exactly.
You know, you watch one show that's okay, and then the rest is just rubbish.
So, Misha, you said to me the other day, where's the numbers? Where? SABC?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's where we need to be.
Yeah, and not on 3.
If SABC we want more one. Black darkies.
I think we need to run.
Yeah,
run
because those
campaign,
are your numbers.
Yeah.
Those are your numbers.
We need to make him an SA champion in 2 years' time.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sure we can do it.
I know you can't.
Which is going to say something. What about it? What about
you
it?
Now, you know what we have to do? We've got to put these two in two separate cars on one track.
I just want my car to have like a boxing glove so I can
just doubles.
Just do that. Bang him on the side there.
I think it's all about weight though. Hey, so the lighter the car.
Oh, no. It's not. Yes, he did actually go there. Can you believe it? We almost made it through a show. But hang on. Tomisha, you'd be happy to know that this is what Lee specializes in.
Uh-huh.
Suspension as
well.
There
you go. And you know, you need some weight to hold the car down.
Well, it's you had to add weights for me on the left though.
A lot.
But for you, we won't add too many weights.
No, but I mean, for BC, you might have to take away because his head is like just getting bigger with every show. Oh, you know, you're going to have a bigger
I love you
window
too, buddy.
To
I love you too.
Especially when he wears sunglasses
a little
to do the show.
On the roof.
Like, wow.
Yeah, he sticks his head out there.
Yeah,
got the roof open.
Specialized helmet.
How do people get a hold of you? How do we get a hold of you? I know I'm going to get a hold of you.
Yeah, man. How do we get a hold of you?
I was going to email me at... ThompsonLee01@gmail.com.
ThompsonLee01@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got any queries, any call, anything?
Or it's at Lee Thompson R.
Yeah. If you want to
for Twitter as well.
Okay. Now I'm going to go to you, Brendan.
Yeah.
In terms of what you're doing with the Chrysler badge, as well as the Alpha badge and the Fiat badge, what interesting and exciting things can people look out for in 2015 on all those fronts?
All the fronts, I think we're looking at a real relaunch of most of the vehicles. So from a Chrysler point of view, we've got a new positioning that we're going into the market called Luxury Feels Better Earned. So look out for that. From Alpha Point.
Luxury Feels?
Better earned.
They're doing stuff with Black Magazine.
No,
we're running out of time. Let the guy speak.
Let the guy speak. Later on the year, Alpha, we're looking at the new Spider. So stay tuned for that. Okay. From a Fiat perspective, look at the. We have a few models coming through from a 1965 retro model as well. So quite exciting stuff coming down the line.
My last question for you is, I know that last year you guys had all your Jeep Cherokees almost pretty much sold out, which is quite a, it was very popular in this country. Awesome. Are you going to get more?
Lots more. Voted car of the year in Australia, SUV of the year in Australia and Austria as well. So this year we'll bring quite a few.
How many are you looking at this year? Because I know last year you had like 500.
I can't give away figures. I'll just say there's still a couple of hundred
people on that waiting list because there were 700 who wanted it.
Quite a few. They're on a boat and on their way. No. They're on a boat on their way.
Brendan, I'm quite curious. I want to ask you because I know the bike guys have these challenges where South Africa, you can ask for 100 and you maybe get 50. Mm-hmm. Do you have the same challenge?
It is the same. Although we're one of the highest selling Jeep markets in the world, it just comes down to business decisions as well, where they prefer to move some of the vehicles somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But usually we do actually meet demand that comes in.
Okay, so you get your brilliant numbers. That's get interesting. Numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, well, with that, we're out of here. We'll see you next week. Bye. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye. Cheers.